All right, we're going to get going.
Good morning. I will call the St. Paul City Council Org Committee to order. Thank you for flexibility this morning. We had noticed the meeting in the large room, but we intended to hold the meeting in the small room. So we improvised and put some signs on the door of the big room and said, we're over here. So I think we should be fine. We're not breaking any laws. But I think that our intention was to have a more, this is our org committee. We typically have it in this room, and we wanted to have a more informal conversation with our public works about our upcoming trash hauling contracts. And so today those are the two items on our agenda. We will be hearing from public works with recommendations on garbage and recycling programs. And we will also then shift to our org committee as a second part of our agenda today. So let's begin. I think Susan Young. We have a few presenters. I'll let them introduce themselves and their job titles for the record. And I'll just let you know, this is not videoed, but it is recorded. So it's part of the public record. So if you could just start by, because there's not videos, introducing yourself, saying your job title, and we'll get started here. Welcome and good morning.
Good morning. Sean Kershaw, I'm the Director of Public Works. I'm here with Susan Young, who's our Manager of Community and Resident Services. And Susan will be doing most of the presenting and most of the question answering, but I want to be available, because related questions may come up as well. But how much time? Is it 45 minutes tops? Okay.
Let's shoot for 45. If we have lots of questions, we have room to move over that. And if we don't, we can go less. But that's a good target.
Well, and I think that in terms of my presentation, I'm going to be relatively brief and sort of hit the high points. The history, y'all know the history of organized collection in St. Paul much better than I do. I started here in September of 2019 to catch the tail end of the vote. To continue or not continue the organized collection program. It's amazing. It has been almost 5 years now. And we are getting ready to do the next iteration, in my files it's called the next frontier, the next iteration of the city's garbage and recycling and solid waste programs. A citizen advisory committee was convened in January of 22. That committee was represented all of the wards. It represented tenants, rental property owners, residents, duplexes, triplexes. We looked intentionally for folks of different income levels. We looked intentionally for a diversity of folks ethically and from a language perspective. We're very intentional about also looking at age, because in the garbage industry, your approach to garbage and recycling is, it can be very age dependent. That committee worked very hard. I was incredibly impressed. They went through Garbage 101. We tackled individual topic areas. There was a great deal of discussion that was always respectful. Many heated differences of opinion, but always respectful discussions. And they came together, and the report that I provided you last year was their report. We were able to take that report and base the Public Works recommendations on that report. So I've given you the Public Works recommendations, and you had previously had the Citizens Committee. The very first thing is we want to approach not just garbage and recycling and drop-off and yard waste and organics, but in state law, it talks about solid waste management, the whole solid waste stream, which includes each of those particular areas. But we want to be very mindful of managing the solid waste stream. So that means that as we're talking about a garbage program, we're also trying to make sure that we're diverting recyclables. We're working with the county's organics programs. We're looking at it in a holistic manner. In terms of garbage services specifically, we are recommending that the next contract, which we are recommending be through an RFP, a request for proposals, strengthen some of the provisions that have been problematic in this contract. Some of the requirements in terms of service levels, very much strengthening some of the bad dog sorts of ways that we can change behavior and do a better job of making sure that haulers comply with the contract. In terms of customer service, we are recommending that customer service be pulled into the city. Right now, we ask customers to call Eureka for recycling, their various haulers for garbage issues. And that is okay. The city has no way of determining independently how do you want questions.
Would you prefer we ask questions as we go along, or would you like us? You want to just get through it and we go back?
Let's do them as we go along, okay. And that way I make sure that I answer your questions.
Okay. You do your presentation, and I will kind of watch and see if there's questions up here just so you don't feel like you have to overly multitask. And it looks like Ms. Prince has a question.
I do. In terms of going to the RFP, and this is kind of in the weeds, so if you're not ready to get into the weeds yet, is the consortium allowed to submit a proposal?
Absolutely, and I would hope that they would.
So any couple of haulers could put together an RFP. It's not being limited to one of the giant haulers who can handle the whole city. It could continue to be a group of haulers.
It would definitely could continue. In fact, in the recycling RFP, we specifically called out that we were hoping that there would be, you know, some folks that would come together to provide us with proposals. That didn't happen for some reasons, but we would definitely be looking at that a future RFP.
Great.
Okay. And to your point, it could be this current existing group. It could be this existing group minus one or something, for example.
I am going to delve a little bit into the weeds here as I'm looking at doing some advanced preparation on the RFP. We have considered internally whether we would say that if there is a group of haulers that there be some limitations on the size of the largest one, so that the city would be protected in case in a group of haulers one had 80% and we had problems with that one. So we have had some internal discussions about how that might work. Okay. In terms of customer service, that's where I was. We are recommending that we pull that into the city. We're going to be leveraging Zendesk, and Sarah Haas, who's here today, has literally become the queen of Zendesk. She has figured out ways of making that very effective, both from a staff perspective and for ways for our citizens to come to us, both. They don't have to be during hours. They can send us emails. They can fill out forms, and we can be responsive to that. But it is also a great way for us to track not only the number of calls we have, but what kinds of calls, what are the specific areas that people have questions about. And then it also provides a very, very good way to monitor staff performance. How long does it take us to get a response? How long are folks waiting on the phone? We will not allow anyone to be on the phone for 3 or 4 hours like they are with one of our haulers. That is not acceptable. In terms of bulky item services, that is a slight difference from the advisory committee's report. Not everybody has bulky items every year, but over the course of 5 or 6 years, just about everyone will want to refresh their living room, or they need to get rid of a washer-dryer combo, or they've done some work on the bathroom and they want to get rid of that cabinet and the toilet. So while everybody doesn't have bulky items every year, over the course of 5, 6, 7 years, just about everybody will have something. Right now, you have to call, you have to make a special appointment, and we limit it to 3 items per year. Granted, some people don't use those 3 items, but what I am suggesting and recommending is that bulky items would be collected regularly. There would be a way to set them out, put a note on them, and we're looking at whether we would have that included in the RFP or a separate contract. There have become a couple of companies now that specialize in the recycling, refurbishment, reuse of bulky items. Some of you may be familiar with the mattress programs that Ramsey County has been piloting. So I'm looking at bulky items a little bit differently.
Ms. Baker has a question.
Thanks, Council President. Ms. Young, can you speak to what the committee's recommendation was with bulky items and why your recommendation differs from that?
The committee's recommendation was that since, and it was not completely unanimous, but it was a majority opinion, that since not everybody has a bulky item every year, that it should be on a pay per bulky item. And my concern and my experience in the industry has been that if you're going to do on a pay per bulky item, there are some folks that would rather dump it on the side of the road, put it on their neighbor's property, do other things with it. If we are collecting them on a regular basis, we would have the ability, if there was something illegally dumped, to deal with that.
Just as a quick follow-up, is there a reason why we would move towards collecting regularly rather than our current system of three times a year? Would this just be every week you could have a bulky item if you wanted to, as long as you put a note on it? And I guess I'm just wondering, that obviously seems more convenient. I'm wondering what that would mean in terms of cost.
It would, what my recommendation in, as you dive into the report is that, yes, there are people who will abuse that. And you could have three bulky items a year, you could have them all at one time, or you could have them spread out under the current program. The reason that I'm recommending that it be a regular with a way of tracking abuse, for instance, in some cities there was a practice of grandma at Sunday dinner found out that her kids or grandkids were refurbishing the house. Well, you just bring those things in here and I get rid of them for free. We would have a limit of, you say, six items a year. But they would be put out on a regular basis, and that way we don't have an accumulation of bulky items. There's not an incentive to put your bulkies on somebody else's property. There's not an incentive to hoard the items. It becomes very convenient for folks. Quite frankly, when we're talking garbage and recycling, convenience is key for customer behavior.
And I wish, I know Mr. Tolbert's on his way in, but I almost wish he was here because he sometimes chides me for being like overly passionate about bulky items. So he'll miss this, but I love this change. And I hope we move forward with it because I do feel like your point is good about how there are just some years where you have no bulky items and some years where you might have more. In my neighborhood, we communicate well with each other and have a good relationship on our alley, which I think is probably a little unusual. But if somebody needs an extra bulky item, we trade each other for spots if we have more of them. And I don't think that that's necessarily would be the same in other parts of the city or necessarily on a block-to-block basis. Being able to have the items picked up, especially now that we know kind of generally how much does get picked up, I think also would incentivize the landlords who do the dumping on the corners that you mentioned to just go ahead and use the bulky services mm-hmm. if they have two move-outs in a year or what have you. I think that I'm wondering about the cost is important, but I think when we negotiated our first contract, we assumed everyone was going to use their three bulky items, and they haven't. We still do a ton of pickup at the neighborhood cleanups. I remember talking to person after person saying, you know, we would pick this up at your house. They're like, everything's tied on the top of their car, and you're like, oh, my God. And they're like, no, I didn't know that. So I think that they're making convenience is good, something where you just put a sticker on it. You don't have to call and make sure someone's going to come pick it up. All those things will encourage people to use bulky services. I'm so glad you showed up. I was just saying you love to point out how much I love bulkies.
I actually felt guilty. I didn't use mine, and I felt guilty towards you.
Mr. Kersel, looks like he wants to respond, and then Jane has a follow-up.
Council President, I may be anticipating Councilmember Prince's question. There are parts of town, unstated in here, where a lot of people go to dump items. Many of them are in Ward 7. We want to be careful that this change won't promise an outcome because people are maybe coming in from other cities to do that. But it is, we spend time in street maintenance going out regularly to sites that are common dumping. And this is an evolutionary step in trying to minimize that as well.
Ms. Pitts.
I think my concern with bulkies, and thank you, Director Kershaw, for pointing that out, is that in my side of town, whether it's that people don't speak English, that landlords aren't paying attention, people don't know they have the service. And when I look at the Garbage Advisory Committee, the numbers are terrible. I mean, the illegal dumping got worse and worse and worse and worse through every year of the contract, so that by the last year it was twice as much as we had illegal dumping as we had before we entered into the contract. So I guess my issue with it is, if people can't use it or don't know about it, could it be an opt-in on their bill? Is that if you want bulkies picked up, then it changes, you know, it's added to the base rate? Because I just don't see it working in my ward. And I think it's a problem, because it has not, the public policy reason, one of the main ones for doing organized trash hauling was to stop illegal dumping, and it hasn't done that at all. So that's a big concern of mine. Bulkies just, they're great when they work, but that kind of alley organizing in parts of town, areas of concentrated poverty, people don't organize to plow their alleys, and they sure don't talk to each other about putting out bulkies. So
I do want to make sure that I as soon as I said that, I wished I wouldn't have, because I don't, that's just an anomaly, and I'm not using that as an example. I don't see how having the service automatically added with no real limits would decrease participation, or how adding an opt-in would increase participation. I think what I just heard is the dumping that happens in some of our wards, mine included, is not necessarily from people who even live in St. Paul.
I feel that people shouldn't have to pay for something that they're not using. If they opt into it, then at least they're making a conscious choice that, oh, I get bulkies with this. And, yeah, I'd like to pay for that. So that's my suggestion.
I disagree.
Ms. Kershaw.
I will. Susan, you know, Ms. Young will correct me. I think the sort of microeconomic question there would cause me to say, I don't want to pay extra and I'll still have bulkies. And I think what we're wanting to do is make it as easy as possible and education will be a key part of that, for people to get rid of their bulkies, A, you know, because they need to, and B, so it doesn't get dumped somewhere else in town for us to pick up.
Well, education is essential, because for the whole 5 years, I have talked to landlords to say, do you realize for each of your 4 units, you can put out 3 bulkies? They do not know it. They don't know it. They come to the cleanups after 5 years. They're coming to the cleanups with all this stuff, having no idea they could be getting rid of it. And again, I think if we're going to make it part of the base rate, then make sure we're translating it for people who don't speak English, and make it part of Landlord 101 and all the different ways that we work with landlords, because the education effort in this 5 years appears not to have been at all effective.
One piece of that, too, is I think it'd be interesting to look at the dumping increase versus, like, the use by area. You know, where are bulkies getting picked up? I think measuring what's happened with dumping is, like, a measure that's somewhat related, but not necessarily, you know, the causation and correlation. But understanding where bulkies are actually being picked up, or where people are utilizing the system. Because I do agree about the education and outreach and making sure that everybody knows about it. But the pickups that I worked at, I was not talking to people who didn't speak English as a first language. I was talking to people who should know better. It'd be interesting to know, like, where it's actually being used and to dig into that a little bit as well. Ms. Naker.
Thanks, Council President. And I'm not taking a position on this one way or another. I'm just seeking to get clarity on what's changing and what's not. So my understanding is bulkies are currently part of the base rate. They will continue to be part of the base rate. Right now there is a 3-item limit. There will be a different limit. There will still be a limit, but it won't be 3 to prevent abuse. And rather than having to schedule a pickup, you will be able to just put them out with a note. Is that the substance of the change?
Yes, and with respect to bulkies and cleanup, one of the problems with the 5 years that we have been in this is that we had pandemic. And all of a sudden, there were people in their houses that did not notice that the that their kids, before they had grown up, had ripped the arms of the furniture and that the rugs needed to be changed out and et cetera. I would expect that about 10 to 12% of the population would have bulkies on any given year. And in I'm looking at 2021, which was the last full year that we had that I currently have data from, it was 10% of the folks had actually used it. We had increases in the number of bulkies that were collected over the course of the program. And, yes, in 2021, Public Works did spend a large amount on illegal dumping. But, again, that was because people were getting rid of stuff that was in their houses. Furniture stores did really, really well in 20 and 21 and early 22. But most furniture stores do not take back the old stuff. And so I think that the part of that was an anomaly. I think that we are seeing more and more folks using it. And one of the things that boggled me was in 2021, we noted that there were almost 2,300 folks that paid additional, used up their three bulkies, and then paid additional to get rid of bulky items. And I appreciate the feedback, and as we start to develop the program a little more, we'll take this into consideration, absolutely.
Great.
Mr. Ballinger.
So I just want to be clear. You'll have up to six bulkies going forward, and that could include, say, mattresses.
Mm-hmm. And that is a tentative recommendation right now for discussion purposes. But, yes, that would include mattresses. Which
and
I noticed a couple of them on Wabasha next to an apartment building this morning.
It already does.
Oh, okay.
We already three at no additional charge, and you can have an unlimited number for if you are willing to pay the hauler for the additional pull.
And those are negotiated reduced prices. It's not willy-nilly. Everything has a posted rate if when you're above the three items.
Yes, Council President, that's true.
Mr. Ballinger, were you done with your questions? Ms. Prince.
And I do just want to say the numbers that I am referring to came out of the Garbage Advisory Task mm-hmm. Force. And the use for the three, for 2019, 2020, and 2021 was less than 11% in 2020. 7.6% in 2019 and 9.9% in 2021. That was the bulky items collected and the percentage used as a function of the total possible pickups. So we never even hit 12% of people using their bulkies.
Mm-hmm. And Council President, Council Member, folks don't have something every year. Very seldom do folks have something every year. If you look at Bloomington has you can pay an additional and get anything on your lawn. And not every house in Bloomington uses that every year. But the concept behind having it as part of the base is that you may not have anything this year, but you might have something in subsequent years, and this is a way of leveling out the costs. But definitely, we'll take a look at that and come back to you.
I really do think that a system that relies on people to strap mattresses and cabinets to the top of their cars and drive across town on a certain date in the spring or the fall is not a good policy. So I'm glad that we're looking at this and trying to find ways to solve that. And I do think that we can continue to improve.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, when we talk about equity, that means that you have to have a car big enough to put that stuff on and that you have to have a car, period, and that you can get there that day. And I think being able to just put something out in the back with a note on it means that you have access to that no matter what your financial or vehicle situation is. So I'm glad that we're pushing forward and trying to find the best path forward. And I would be interested, we can use numbers to make any case, but just to understand, like, where is the use happening would be helpful.
Okay. After bulkies, talk about organics. I know this is important to several of you. Ramsey, Washington County own the Recycling and Energy Center in Newport. They are doing massive reconfiguring of that to prepare for a program where all organics will be included with the garbage. Residents will have the opportunity to request organics bags, compostable bags, at no additional charge. They will be delivered to their home. Residents will request a one-year supply or a six-month supply. The county hasn't completely decided which. And they will have those organics bags, compostable bags. They will put their food scraps in those bags. The bags will be put in the garbage cart and then sorted at the facility. And they just did a meeting last week with showing the sorting lines. That material, they're now looking for vendors to do the composting or anaerobic digestion. But that program will be available to every resident at their home. In addition, the county has committed to us that they will continue the drop-off programs and will have an expansion of those programs. You may have heard on NPR that the Lex Hamlin drop-off opened very recently, not in the last couple of days. Chris Hagman in Public Works has been doing a great job working with the county to help promote those facilities.
Ms. Anker. Thanks, Council President. Ms. Young, when will this happen?
The county has had hoped to be doing pilots last fall and this spring. And there have been some delays. There have been some challenges. This is a massive project. It has never been done anywhere in the country like it's being done here. And so they've had some challenges. They are going to be doing pilot programs later this year. I'll be honest. They asked if St. Paul was interested in having a couple of blocks do a pilot program. And since we have so much going on this year, and I was concerned about some blocks saying, oh, you got it, and I didn't, that they are going to be doing a pilot in North St. Paul and Maplewood in Ramsey County, and then I forget which two cities in Washington County, portions of cities. And it won't be all of North St. Paul. It'll just be very small areas because they don't have the capability yet to do full-time sorting. They are hoping to launch fully in 2024.
Coming.
It has been.
quick question about one of the things that's been intriguing for us over the years about the organics program is that organics are where the weight of your garbage is. I use the drop-off sites, and I can tell you that my garbage weighs almost nothing now that I don't have the food waste scraps in there. We know that part of the hauling cost is weight. So is there... since this will be part of the trash that's getting tipped, does that mean that there will be no relief because the organics are removed?
Council President, yes, that is true. And there will also be no reduction in the solid waste taxes, both the county taxes and the state taxes that our residents pay. Even though if organics are taken separately to a facility and not included in the garbage cart, those are not taxed. Okay. So the county, when they were looking at the program, were looking for the convenience, were looking for, you know, everybody gets to participate without any true effort, and that is why they chose this program.
Well, I understand that, and it makes sense. It still has to be handled. It still has to be sorted. And I think we were just wondering if at some point that would help with the weight tipping costs. But that also makes sense, is that if it's covered as part of those existing fees and not an additional cost to us. Otherwise, it sounds like, looking at your face, I think you're going to say some more bad news.
There was a very, very significant $12 a ton tipping fee increase for 2023. They have not yet set what the tipping fee increases will be for 2024. But considering that they have had significant staff increases, this is a lot of equipment. They're going to have things to do. It would not surprise me to have another significant tipping fee increase in 24. The tipping fee is a part of what our residents pay in the bill. And we essentially, everybody pays the same amount in the tipping fee, except as it relates to their size of their garbage cart. When we get down to billing, I am going to be recommending that we have a base fee and then a per cart charge, so that folks are very, very clear what's in the base fee and then what is the actual per cart charge. We still get at that because there are different prices for the different cart levels. But what I want to do is, from an educational perspective, make that really clear to folks.
Great. That is in the weeds, but I appreciate that you're delving off in that, because I've been wondering what's going to happen when compost is part of our garbage still. So that's helpful to know.
Council President, the other thing that we've done is Sarah Haas's group has done some really amazing food waste minimization and backyard composting education programs. She's going to be doing more in 2023. They were really well received. Folks had a good time. I never knew that you could make really good food from banana peels. But she's got the recipes on the website. So just letting you know that not only are we saying, yes, you're going to be able to do this program, but Public Works has been very active in making sure that we can teach you how to reduce the amount of food waste that you have.
And I heard you say earlier that Ramsey County will continue with the drop-off sites. Yes. And so if, you know, with a bit extra effort, you can drop off your things there with no charge and have a smaller bin, which you're going to get to bin charges later. Okay.
Yard waste is right now a subscription program. It is my recommendation that continue as a subscription program or by the bag. Again, residents have the opportunity to take yard waste to the drop-off sites or have it picked up at their home. That would be not included in the base fee as part of my recommendations right now. I know that many cities it is included in the base fee, but St. Paul residents, they really don't – this is not something that they really seem to embrace. They would rather do that. Now, one thing that I am going to do is make sure that in all of our education programs, I'm helping out my brothers and sisters and the rest of Public Works by – putting more emphasis on not putting your leaves and your grass clippings in the street. We're going to be helping with some of those education programs. Again, it's convenient to blow your leaves in the street. It is not legal, and it is not good for the environment. So we're going to be sort of helping on that.
And virtually impossible to enforce. I mean, it's hard to call somebody in for, like, what do we have, like, the Leaf Patrol that's going to throw their amber light on their car and come shame somebody? No. It's hard to enforce. So education is, that's key.
The next topic area are the garbage service levels. This had a lot of discussion by the advisory committee, this is a challenging topic. Public Works is recommending that we have a program of cart sharing, that it be by application, that both parties in the sharing are signed up for the program. In other words, we need signatures from if it's two adjacent neighbors, if it's two folks in a duplex, whatever, that they're going to be sharing carts. We need to have that. We are going to be working on enforcement of that because council members, especially recently, have been having constituents call them that people are putting garbage in a neighbor's cart or garbage in across the alley's cart, and I do not want to encourage that. Public Works is also recommending that with limitations that there be some opt-out opportunities. And, again, I understand that there are folks that have very low waste. there really isn't anybody that can be an absolute zero waster, but I understand that there are people that have very low waste generation. And if those folks can demonstrate that they have an alternate environmentally and legally acceptable method of dealing with their waste, then we will work on an opt-out. In another life, I helped develop the program that Maplewood currently uses. They still allow cart sharing. They have dropped their opt-out program, mostly because nobody was using it. The folks that tend to say, well, I don't need garbage because I'm taking my garbage to the Quick Trip, or I'm taking my garbage to the restaurant across the alley or whatever. When the restaurant or the Quick Trip had to sign on and say, yes, this person has permission to put that, there just weren't folks. Something like regular transfer station receipts, because we do have two transfer stations in St. Paul that are open to anybody, that are our public facilities, paid public facilities, would be part of the reasons that people could opt out. And I know that you all have received some information that we are discriminating against multi-unit properties. That's not true. I'm going to be evaluating the opportunities for multi-unit properties, perhaps fourplexes, to opt out of city service. But again, we'll need documentation that they have contracts and they have appropriate disposal. And I'm absolutely looking at saying, if you have a fourplex that is under one entity's management, it's not like four condos, that there is an ability to deal with not having as many carts. Dumpsters are a challenge. The truck that handles a cart not necessarily is able to handle a dumpster. And so dumpsters might be a challenge. Again, I know you've received information about that. We're still developing the fine points of the program, so I am considering those unique aspects.
Ms. Prince.
And Ms. Young, I really appreciate that. And I am so pleased to see cart sharing as part of the recommendation going forward. And I did want to say, I'm sensitive to the issues that were raised. We did all hear. And I really appreciate that you're looking into that. I think being able to, if I understood the recommendation correctly, it was that a four-unit building or up to four units could have could share two carts. But when it came to that issue of equity for people living in those units, would that then mean that a resident of a unit wouldn't be able to opt out of the program if they qualified as a zero waster or whatever? So we don't have to get into the fine points here if that's something that you're exploring, and I'm happy to talk to you further about it. But the car sharing is going to be so welcomed by people, especially seniors.
Council member, it would be very difficult if a four-unit building was owned by one person and one person paid the bill for one of those apartments to opt out. I'm not sure how we would bill that. I'm not sure how we would deal with that. I will continue to look at that and try and be somewhat creative, but that would be very challenging both to enforce and to bill.
Thank you.
Ms. Anker.
Thanks, Council President. One comment and two questions. One, I just really appreciate, as Councilmember Prince said, the work you've done on opt-out and cart sharing, and I really feel strongly that multi-units should not be treated differently from single-family. We have a majority renter city, and there doesn't seem to me to be a reason why we would treat those differently. So I'm glad to hear you say that they are not being looked at differently. My two questions, one, just in terms of dumpsters, I'm not sure why the city has to take a position on the type of container in which you put your trash. I'm wondering if that's something we feel strongly about, or whether we can, in the RFP, allow the respondents to tell us whether or not they can handle dumpsters or not, and if so, what the cost is, and make a decision after that information comes back, rather than saying de facto, we feel like we like plastic of this size rather than metal of this size. So I guess I'm asking that question, and then also wondering in terms of opt-out, would that be a one-time opt-out fee? I know you had talked about a fee, or is that an annual opt-out fee? How does the actual paying work for opting out?
Council President, Council Member, I'm going to take the second one first. At the current time, I'm considering a one-time, but I also need to think about how we make sure that this – that, for instance, when we have vacant units right now, they need to re-up every year and say, yep, we're a vacant unit. So I'm concerned about somebody opting out and then sort of falling through the cracks. So I have not made a final recommendation on that. Again, it's not in the hundreds of dollars of a fee. It is just enough for us to deal with the paperwork and make sure that we have the ability to enforce. In terms of the carts, along with taking over customer service and billing, it is also Public Works' recommendation, and we're working toward managing the carts with city employees. So we would be doing cart management. At the present time, those rather expensive city assets are scattered between five different hauling companies, including Eureka. I do not have confidence that I have good inventory control. I do not have confidence that there is good control of when carts are bad because of a manufacturing defect. They should be returned. So in order to properly manage those city assets, it is the Public Works recommendation that we are taking over the cart management program. We could include a provision in the RFP, but it would be for the hauler to provide the dumpster and for the hauler to provide a different service. And I will certainly consider that. And I realize that we're close on time. The last one is that I have is it is strongly recommended that the city perform the billing functions. And we've talked to OFS, and we've been talking to assessments, and we think that there's a way of doing a good integration of billing and Zendesk and some of our cart management programs.
In terms of our bringing billing and customer service in-house, is that being covered under the trash bills, or are we adding additional overhead through the general fund, or how is that going to be covered?
Council President, Council Member, the recycling currently is an enterprise fund. Garbage is currently an enterprise fund. So there are no general fund dollars that go into that. And yes, we pay our way. I just did all of the approval of the end of year bills for real estate and storm sewer and da-da-da-da-da-da. So we do pay our way back into the general fund. Those right now, as part of the consortium's bills, that there is a $1.99 per dwelling unit per month that in the original agreement was negotiated for customer service and billing. I am very confident that we will be providing those services at a much higher level and satisfaction of services for at or below that cost.
Very good. I love to hear that, and I am. You have a great team,
yes, I do.
And I really appreciated how you have provided customer service over and above the haulers, which has in some cases been really grim. So thank you for that. And then I don't know if I want to. I'm a little reluctant to bring this up, but are we? As part of this recommendation, and I'm sorry I haven't read through the entire thing, but are we getting into requirements for the businesses themselves and paying living wage and so on and so forth.
Council President, Council Member, it is my recommendation that we have an RFP, that the nuts and bolts of the RFP are still being considered. The city has ordinances that any contractors have to comply with. And quite frankly, those city ordinances are quite strong. And the current garbage contracts are in compliance with those ordinances. And so I would not see a change in that.
Okay. Sean, or Mr. Kershaw, it looked like you had more follow-up on that.
No, I have a closing thought, but other questions? I know we're getting to time.
I promise this will not be at the stature of a closing comment. So I wanted to also thank you so much, Ms. Young. You and your team have done phenomenal work. I'm really happy to hear about so many of these changes. And I just wanted to point out how glad I am that we've been tracking the data that Ms. Prince referenced that was in the report. Last time we negotiated this contract, we had no benchmarks. And now to be able to say we know 10% of the population uses bulkies a year, so we can set a rate that reflects that rather than being subject to the whatever data we're getting from the respondents, I think is just so powerful. So we're in a much stronger negotiating position in this situation for a number of reasons, but one of which is the data. So really excited about that. I just wanted to ask a question about the timeline. I know with the recycling RFP, it felt like we were very, very tight on time. I'm wondering when we are going to get this RFP out, how much time we're going to have to review that, see what comes back before we have to have a new contract in place.
Council President, Council Member, we're in a really tight timeline here, that the current contract ends in October, and we have a lot of work to get done before that. So we are cognizant of that. You know, we've got timelines and schedules, and it's really tight to get all this done, including the changes that we're talking about. This is one of those services that if it's working, people don't call you to say good job. If it's not working, everybody notices, you know, whether it's in July and you've got garbage or it's in December and it's not getting picked up. Susan, with her leadership and her team, have done a phenomenal job, you know, responding to concerns, reacting, putting together this plan with the community, because there could have been enormous conflicts between the community recommendations and what we wanted to do. It was great to see their professionalism and their responsiveness at work. Having said that, they have a lot of work ahead of them to make this transition so that nobody loses garbage service on any, you know, day. That's the bottom line for us. So with the contract ending in October, we are on a tight timeline here.
Hence why we squished them in today.
Yes.
So that we could get this preview now as opposed to waiting until it came through the council and was voted on. It's like, we know what's here, we know what the hot button items are, and it gets us the longer lead time than if we would have waited.
And Council President, I apologize. There's one thing I forgot because I was too busy shuffling my papers. We are recommending that a portion of the garbage service and a portion of the recycling service be brought into city employees.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. And quite frankly, that is the part that scares me right now because of personnel and truck deadlines and being able to integrate that. But that is our recommendation. Quite frankly, this summer, if we had been able to put some existing employees on either weekend or overtime, we could have lessened the adverse impact to our customers.
Ms. Prince. I really am happy to see that we're exploring that, and because I absolutely agree. I think when people ask me about why is it so much better in Minneapolis? It's that they maintained a significant portion of the hauling, and so they've always been able to kind of hold everybody accountable on the standard that they set. So, and you're thinking that it would be about 10% is
approximately 10% with the ability to perhaps in future contracts be able to increase that, depending on the council's wishes.
Do Maplewood or Bloomington have any of the service provided by the city?
Council President, no, they do not.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad we're looking at that. So thank you for all this great work.
Thank you as well. Mr. Tolbert, you had something to add.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a general statement just on the overall trash program. You know, obviously, 4 years ago, we had a big conversation in the city about organized trash collection. And, you know, although we, this council voted for it and the voters obviously voted for it pretty substantially, I just think in retrospect, obviously, there's been some growing pains. There's been some lessons learned, just some oversight. I mean, that's any new program has things like, ooh, we didn't think about that, or, you know, lessons learned. But overall, I think, and what I've heard from most constituents, by and large, is they like the program. The trash is getting picked up. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to pay. We know, you know what you're getting. Everybody on the block has a trash bin. I just think big picture, it's a good reminder. I'm glad that we did it. You know, obviously the year of debate about it feels kind of luxurious now, considering the issues we've had over the last 4 years, to have to debate about that. But overall, I think it's a really good thing for the city. Obviously, there's some things we need to work out, and you guys are spearheading that, and I appreciate that, and I think the constituents are too. But overall, in retrospect, I'm glad that we did this, and I think it's better for all citizens of St. Paul for trash service. And I know on a personal level, I appreciate it. My trash is picked up, and the billing is auto pay, which I never had had before, and I think that's great. So,
piggybacking on that a little bit, we also, as we made the shift from multiple haulers driving through our alleys every week and the challenges therein, we had to make some calculated kind of bad decisions, I think, at that time, like not putting out an RFP and trying to create a consortium because of the public outcry to keep, maintain certain haulers. We had to not have a sharing option or an opt-out option because we needed to stabilize the program. And those are things that we were committed all along to eventually correcting. And so I do appreciate that we've come through that, recognizing that there were some things that we had to do just to make the shift. And so I appreciate that. And also the work here. I love the bringing customer service in-house. I think that was another thing that we allowed to be out at in the different haulers' wheelhouses, and everyone who got service got a different experience when they called customer service, some good, some bad. And ultimately, we ended up doing a lot of work on our end to correct those rights and wrongs. I'm glad to hear about the county organics. I think the conversation about bulky items is good. Yard waste is good. And so I appreciate the update. I do agree 100% with Ms. Meeker's comment. I think this is the same point. We had to make decisions without having data. But I also want to make sure that we're all recognizing, I think something that Ms. Young said is, we also went through a pandemic. And my experience in Ward 5 was that I got more calls about traffic and more calls about speeding and more calls about, you know, things that people who are sitting at their homes and noticing during that time. And I think that we did have an increase in calls about bulky items. I know that our DSI, they don't say what was a bulky item that was dumped versus what somebody had sitting out on their own house. And so those things are clumped together. We have some data to use, but I think it would be helpful to disaggregate some of it and have a better understanding, if we can, of like what we're really talking about, so that we can continue to track that moving forward. Because I think some of it, the data is a little weird, just because we've been through a pretty weird time. So then as we move forward, to just kind of keep our eye on and see how the changes that we're making reflect in the changes in behavior. Mr. Kershaw.
Council President and Council members, our plan is to bring this board for approval at the council meeting next Wednesday because of the timeline, and want to recognize that you may have questions that come up between now and then, so to please, you know, contact us and to make sure that we're answering questions that we couldn't get to today before then.
Right. And again, intentional. We wanted to do this today so we could get that on the agenda next week and be able to move it when it comes before us. Ms. Prince had a hand up, and then Ms. Inker.
Thanks, Council President. I know we're trying to close here. Just to that point, there were a number of questions today that were still in progress in terms of being decided upon, and so I assume those will be decided upon when we see this next Wednesday. If not, I just want to make sure that we don't consider this a final update. If there are changes that are made between now and next Wednesday, we should see those as soon as possible.
Council President, Council Member, in terms of what will the exact fee be for an opt-out. I will not have that. I will be able to somewhat solidify my recommendation on rentals and opt-out and whether or not we would include dumpsters. Yes, I would be able to give that some real thought. It was a piece that I was sort of putting off while I was trying to pull some other things together. But if there are specific things that you wish to have more clarity on, please let me know, and I'll make sure that those are addressed.
We're not approving an RFP.
Correct.
We're approving them to continue on this route next week. Ms. Prince.
Yeah, and I just want to kind of reiterate here that I think from one part of town to another, the program has worked well or less well, depending. And we acknowledged, and thank you, Mr. Kershaw, for acknowledging that we have more illegal dumping in Ward 7. Ward 7 was also the ward that voted against the contract. I mean, when it was a trash referendum, it was Ward 7 that voted against it. So I think we have to look at what the issues were there, and the equity around rental units is a really important one for me.
Great. The call I've heard is if you have questions or require clarity to this was our first preview. We actually have had a chance to get briefed individually as well, but this is our first public preview. Had a chance to hear about each other's concerns. It will come before the council next Wednesday, which will move us onto the track of getting the RFP out in time so that we can move forward to our next trash hauling contract in 2024. Yes. It would start next year.
No, it would start October 1st of 23.
Oh, see, look, now we're not even starting in January. That's great. Rough. Okay, so we know what we need to do. Thank you for presenting to us in advance of the meeting. I think that helps us all, and hopefully it helps you as well. And,
my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yep, and it sounds like there's a strong desire, especially following the Eureka conversations, that we keep this, give ourselves as much lead time as we need to do this well.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here. All right. I will turn things over to Ms. House.
Thanks, Council President. So I don't really have an official agenda item. I mean, I just put on there, like, updates on boards, commissions, and other, in case there's other discussion that we want to have. Since it's the first meeting of the month, typically we do the updates on boards and commissions if you all have any. But since we just did kind of a monthly meeting 2 weeks ago, I don't really have any other news to share for today.
Okay. Well, I guess my question to you would be one, we have had queued up a conversation about the services on boards and commissions, and when do you anticipate that we will have the conversation just about that?
Yes, when we talked about that 2 weeks ago, thanks, Council President. My understanding of that decision was that we should have those conversations offline instead of in
okay.
Our committee meeting.
So okay.
I'll have info for you at our next Ward 5 check-in.
Okay. So the intention, though, is to look at the boards, commissions, the places that we're serving, and make sure that that where we are expected to be representing, that we're representing, mm-hmm. Places where we don't necessarily need to be representing, that we find, make sure that there is proper representation. There are a few in particular that we've discussed that perhaps even the board itself may have served its purpose, and to call the question about what's the next step with that, and so that will be something that we'll communicate with each ward office individually and get back with some. Okay, I appreciate that. And then, Munder, if you could give us an update, a quick update on our staffing study.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, thanks, Council President. So our contract is finalized for the staffing study with Baker Tilly, and I met with the project manager from Baker Tilly on Monday just to get, like, a quick preview of how this is going to start. They are in a data collection phase right now before they start interviewing our staff. And before they start interviewing our staff, we will bring them into an all-staff meeting to explain, like, here's how this process will look, here's what to expect. Everyone who is interviewed, including all the staff and council members, will get all the questions that they're going to ask you all in advance so that you're prepared to talk about anything, the questions that they have, but then anything also that you all want to share in those interviews as well. So it's really them working with us, not us. They're not like doing something to us. They're helping us to facilitate a conversation that we all, including everyone on the staff, wants to have. So any thoughts, questions, concerns that anyone on the council team has, they should feel welcome to bring up during that process. So we're getting started, and I'll have more to share probably next time we talk.
Great. And just a reminder to folks here and to my colleagues that we're having our staffing study conversation is sort of overlapping a conversation about our workspace and recognizing that our workspace that was designed in the 80s is not necessarily as functional as it could be for a workspace that we're using in the 2020s and beyond because of technological changes, because of security changes, because of the way that we interact with our constituents and the way that constituents use our office for legislative hearings and looking at ways to make our space more staff-friendly, make it a place that people want to work because it's a wonderful work environment and also is a safe place and a place to meet. I think that as we're doing that, we want to make sure that over time our staffing model still makes sense. And so I do want to encourage folks, if maybe Ms. Howes, you could, I know we've done this a few times, but if anyone still hasn't had an opportunity to go check out the county manager's office, it's a great opportunity to see what a modern workspace looks like and how it really offers people who spend most time at their desk, the most sun, the most views out the window, and has a great break space and also reception area, meeting rooms that you don't have to walk through the offices to get to. Instead, they're right in front by the reception desk, and there's a lot of kind of better feng shui and safety thinking going on there. So if there's some opportunities for people who haven't had a chance to go look at what we could have here. But the idea is really to create a space that is more user-friendly for the community, for the way we use our offices, and for our safety. So that's moving forward. Thanks for that update. And I couldn't remember, you are going to participate on our behalf on some conversation, and I can't remember what it was.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Council President. So the Deputy Mayor has asked Director Kershaw and Director Wiese to lead conversations with department directors about snow removal. Nothing has been scheduled yet that I've seen, but I've offered to participate in those conversations. So it'll help to inform, and I let them know it can help to inform our policy session that we would like to have on snow removal later this year.
So we do have an upcoming policy session about snow removal, and then in the meantime, Ms. House will be the representative with the department leadership on internal conversations about that, and has said that saying that we're going to have the meeting is not the same as having the meeting, and that she will be part of the charge to make sure that those meetings do happen.
That's right.
All right. Any other updates from boards or commissions? I know we just checked in a couple weeks ago, so perhaps there is not. Ms. Snaker.
Thanks, Council President. Just a quick update from the policy session committee, as it were. Director House and I were able to meet last week after our conversation here about policy sessions to finalize that list, which basically reflects what we decided last week. And then, Bren, I don't know when are you thinking we would have, I know you're working on finalizing the calendar for when we would have each session. We also talked about the importance of having that be listed somewhere publicly on our website so we can let folks know, not just look at Legistar calendar, but look at the website to see when you might want to come here about your topic. But when are you thinking we would have the calendar done and when would the first session start? I know we all have holds on our calendars right now, but.
Yeah, I mean, so thanks, Councilmember Naker and Council President. I don't have a solid answer for you on that yet. It is like a big list, and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that needs to go in and getting those all scheduled. I mean, I have like the Climate Justice Board, whatever it's called, meeting scheduled for like April 19th. So there are some little easier things to schedule that I'll get scheduled more quickly. But those kind of more in-depth policy conversations, I just want to make sure before I commit to anything that we are like prepared and ready to go. So I don't want to say, like, we'll for sure be starting those in 2 weeks and then not be ready. So I will keep you all posted. We are, you know, the council research team and I have another couple hours scheduled tomorrow to get back to work on planning those out. But want to make sure that we are doing our kind of due diligence before I commit to anything. So I'm sorry. I know it's not a great answer, but we're working on it.
No, that's great.
That's great. And recognizing that in addition to our policy sessions, we'll get our updates and check-ins from some of our on some of the just the ongoing items that we need from both the council and from HRA as well, and we're working on sifting that out. So, but I think there's agreement that making sure that's ultimately when we have it ready that it's posted so that people have an issue that they're interested in, they know where to come. All right, anything else to come before us this morning? All right, seeing none, we are adjourned.